system for free. With this, you're going to...
Let me ask you something. Did you know Tom Mabe? Were you a friend of his?
No, I'm not. I'm just calling to...
Hold that thought. Hold on 1 second, all right? Hey, guys, get really good pictures of the body. Yeah, and dust everything down for prints. Mike, you there?
Yeah.
Let me bring you up to speed. You've actually called a murder scene. Mr. Mabe is no longer with us. Officer Clark, I'm conducting a homicide investigation. I want to ask you a series of questions. First of all, what was the nature of the business you had with Tom Mabe?
I had no business with him. I'm sorry to bother
you. No, hey, hold on. Look, I want to ask you to stay on the phone. This call's already been traced, and we may need you to come in for further questioning.
You don't understand. I'm just calling.
No, look, you don't understand. Unless you want to be charged with obstruction of justice, it's imperative you keep your ass on the phone, Mike.
Well, how about you just talk with my supervisor then?
No, look, we'll get your supervisor in a second here. First of all, give me your whereabouts.
I'm at work.
You're at work?
Yes.
You being a smart ass?
No, sir.
Let me put it to you this way, Mike. Say I wanted to mail your ass a letter. What would I have to write on the outside of the envelope to ensure the mailman would deliver it right to your ass? Geographically speaking, Mike, where is work?
40 West Wilton, Colorado.
Uh-huh.
Now, hold on. That's cool.
Yes, sir.
Hold on 1 second, all right?
Yes, sir.
Get the Little Police Department Homicide Division on the phone. Give him this information. You tell him he's being sought in connection with a fatal shooting and aggravated robbery. But how did you know Mr. Mabe again?
Wait, you're calling the Littleton Police Department? I'm hundreds of miles away. I don't even know the guy. I'm in Colorado.
Don't let that scare you. That's just a formality. Have you ever been to his place of residence?
No.
Tell me again, where were you last night between the hours of 8 and 10?
I'm not feeling real comfortable by any of this.
Have you even ever spoken with Mr. Mabe, Mike?
No, I haven't. I don't even know the guy. That's what I've been trying to tell.
Okay, calm down, hold on, look, just back up. I got one more question for you, Mike. As you well know, I'm sure, Mr. Mabe was a flaming homosexual. There's no easy way of asking that. I don't want to embarrass you or nothing, but were you his gay lover?
What? No. What the hell kind of a question?
Look. If gay's your way, that's okay. I still know there's a lot of you gay people in that closet. Not saying I haven't thought about myself. You know, say I was in Las Vegas or something by a couple of drinks. Cute little Mexican midget. Damn brown.
For the most entertaining talk anywhere, stay tuned to LA Talk Radio. Your real talk station. Your real 24 hours of commercial-free programming.
Don't miss the heartwarming movie that'll bring a tear to your bloodshot eyes. Owen Wilson and Jennifer Aniston star in Bob Marley and Me.
Hey, man, I don't want to fetch a bone. I want to smoke one.
Every little thing gonna be all right when this newlywed couple adopts a reggae superstar in Bob Marley and Me.
Hey, while you're putting newspapers on the floor, man, maybe roll up a towel and put it under the door.
Bob Marley and Me.
Hey, Rachel, when he's dubbed you, that Brad Pitt, he must have been smoking something.
Rated G for ganja.
Hope you like jamming.
Always a fan of the weird and unusual, Back Time salutes these slightly off-center events that happened on December 22nd. Way back in 1922, WEAF in New York broadcast radio's first double wedding ceremony. The last official zonking happened today in 1976. That's when Monty Hall taped his last installment of Let's Make a Deal. And make a fortune on eBay if you have this one. On this day in 1980, Stiff Records released the album The Wit and Wisdom of Ronald Reagan, which contained no sound. That's Back Time for December 22nd. This is your announcer speaking.
An area Walmart's prices are undercut by its own dumpster. It's the Onion Radio News. This is Doyle Redland reporting. Thrifty shoppers in Sturgeon Bay, Wisconsin, report finding better deals in the Walmart dumpster by the store's loading dock. Bargain hunter Joe Garden told reporters a pair of thick work gloves was all he needed to protect against rat bites and to grab some great values on many store items.
If you can believe it, I found the leather gloves first. It was like there was a whole box of them.
Garden advised against digging more than halfway to the bottom of the dumpster to avoid exposing a layer of dead Walmart greeters. Doyle Redland for The Onion Radio News, online at theonion.com.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Obnoxious Office Holiday Party Goer.
Mr. Obnoxious Office Holiday Party Goer.
Sure, Jessica from accounting looks hot. But do you really think she's going to give you the time of day just because you've had a few and just happen to be wearing a Santa hat?
Say ho, 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 you ho.
Do you really think, Mr. Obnoxious Office Holiday Party Goer, that everyone in shipping and receiving wants you to photocopy parts of yourself?
Your butt's like the Shroud of Turin.
Is that a mistletoe belt buckle?
And that's never been funny.
So this holiday season, go easy on the eggnog and steer clear of the guy who's most likely to start the new year with a new job. Mr. Obnoxious Office Holiday Party Goer, a real American hero.
Mr. Obnoxious Office Holiday Party Goer.
Nice job, idiot. That was the boss's daughter.
From high atop the LA Talk Radio building, it's time for Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Monday, December 22nd. A couple more days before Christmas. Another overcast morning in Los Angeles. Susie is out of town, but she is going to be with us in a little bit.
Yeah.
Instead, we have...
Lucky you.
Yes, no vagina there, but
no.
Mr. TJ McCormick himself.
Well, you know, that is debatable.
Are you working on a vagina?
You know what, man? I'm just this side of straight. If it wasn't for the fact that I was married with a baby on the way, I am straight just barely by biology only. Every other way, shape, and form, I'm Fagala.
Okay. Well, we love to have you here, of
Thank
course.
Thank you. Thank you.
TJ is one of my favorites, of course.
Thank you, Sam.
Has been with us from the beginning. And just to give you a little preview, we're going to talk to an author who wrote a book called Skirts in the Boardroom. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of a field guide, I guess, to women in business and in life.
Yes.
We're also going to have a guest in the studio.
Yeah, I'm curious about
and,
that.
And yeah, it's pretty interesting. Is the microphone giving you shit?
Oh, not at all.
Okay.
No, all right. So it's not a porn star today.
Yeah. No, not a porn star today. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry about that. Why do you think I show up for the today's
stuff? In fact, I was thinking about it. Last time you were here, we had a porn star.
Yeah, we had Satine Phoenix.
Yes.
We need her to come back on. And that Daisy Marie.
Yeah. She's something, huh?
Who is the most beautiful one you've had in here so far? And since Sam and Susie?
Actually, we had one that came in, but we didn't have a show that day.
Really?
So we canceled. She didn't know it was canceled. She came in
that
here,
one.
A beautiful, beautiful fucking blonde British girl.
Mm-hmm.
And we never seen her again. So she wasn't very
she
happy.
She was more beautiful than like Tracy
well,
Bingham?
Well, she's my kind of.
Your type.
You know,
yeah.
Like, you know, blonde,
right.
Blue eyes.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
what
yeah,
I like.
Yeah. You see, Bingham was you couldn't take your eyes off of her.
Yeah, she's very fascinating.
She's just amazing to look at.
Yeah. You Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. And for those of you who need a dose of Susie, we're going to have her calling in. Apparently, TJ, she's pretty drunk already.
Already.
She's on the East Coast, so this has got to be noon.
It's just noon, and she's already drunk.
And she's already drunk. Actually, she's probably still drunk from last night.
That's
right?
Really actually what it is.
Yeah.
She called, she sent a text, and I'm drunk as fuck, boys. And I didn't know if it was a friend of mine. I honestly, because I don't have her phone number saved, so it didn't come up as Susie.
Susie,
just came
right.
up. So I called on the way here, waiting to, you know, talk to somebody that shouldn't have been drunk or something, like, or somebody out in some kind of, I don't know. And she goes, and it's her laughing.
Yeah.
She answers the phone laughing. Turns out her mother woke her up. Her mother woke her up, and she was still drunk from last night.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I did want to discuss with you something interesting. I don't know if you got my email last night about scary stuff.
Yes.
Okay. This was a website I found, okay, on the internet, and apparently there's many of those for people search and stuff. Mm-hmm. Now, I can't seem to find that specific one, and I'll get it for you in a minute, but I think it's like U.S. Search or something.
It's
anyway,
something like that.
Yeah, we'll get it for you in a second, but the point is you go in there, and there's a single line, just like a Google search, which lets you actually... enter any name and find out about them. Okay, the site is called usa-people-search.com.
Right.
You go in there, you put in your name, and what the fuck, everything you've ever done in your life is right there. Every place you lived, phone numbers, marriages and divorces, it's all public data.
Yes.
But it's all in one place for everybody to see.
Yep.
Yeah. And you know what? I mean, they knew my ex-wife was related to me. They even know your relatives.
Now, did you pay? Did you go ahead?
No. I mean, look, if you pay, you get like a whole report.
Yeah. Right.
But here, at least on the results page, you still see that there's
It says associated names.
Exactly.
And yeah,
every name you ever had in your life.
Yeah.
Relatives, they know your age and your relatives' ages.
Right.
I mean, what the fuck's?
It's scary. I tell you, and you know who'd be very interesting to talk about this with would be Alan Cardoza.
Yes.
Private investigator.
Yes.
Because interestingly enough, it's websites like that that have actually taken a small bite out of their industry.
Yeah, because he's a private investigator.
And for people, you know, for lawyers preparing for court cases and stuff like that, civil litigation, normally you'd have to go to a guy like Alan or his friends to go and dig up stuff. Now you hit enter and you can dig it up yourself. And I remember I was actually looking for people a few years ago. Mm-hmm. For reunion purposes and high school reunions. I mean, the high school alumni associations, places where they need to raise money, college alumni associations who need to generate income, you know, from former graduates. They use this and it really, they have anything that is, that would be at a courthouse, they have.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it is available anyway, but once it's creepy as hell because people can there is no hiding anymore.
No. And if you actually pay like the $39, man, I mean,
everything.
You get everything.
You get
probably even the women you fucked. Oh, you know,
yes, both of them. You could find out both the women that I banged in my life.
Yeah, they'll be right there, huh?
Yeah, they'd
but
be right there.
But you know what? I was wondering about this. What do you think? Because I was thinking of searching some people like from 25 years ago that I grew up with in the 70s and stuff. And I found a few.
Uh-huh.
Now, I'm wondering, how do you think they're going to feel if I come out of nowhere? They probably even forgot I exist. And out of the blue, I come and I call them. And just saying, you know, hi, what's going on? You know, I'm trying to renew our contact, whatever.
Right.
Would people get scared by that?
You know what? If they're plugged into modern pop culture and society, I don't think they'd be scared. They may not be freaked out by you, but they'd be freaked out by the technology. They could be freaked out by the technology, and all of a sudden go, "God, that's
by the
found
fact
me?
That I found." Yeah, I found them.
I think with the internet and things like Facebook and stuff, I don't think I think it's a much more common occurrence for people to be caught up with these days than say 10 years ago.
Yeah,
just 10 years ago would have been that much more weird.
Yeah,
let alone 15 or 20. But if it was, especially if it was somebody that you had a good relationship with, if it was something that just faded as life goes on. Which
they'd probably be happy. Huh?
They'd probably be happy to hear from you.
But then you don't know what happened in 25 years, TJ.
A lot could happen.
I mean, they may not want you to find them. But
a
I
lot
guess
could
if,
happen.
If they don't, then they don't.
Listen,
you know?
There are people that hook up with me. They try to hook up with me on Facebook. And there's a couple of twats out there that I just ignore. I mean, so even in that environment, there are people that I really don't want to be in touch with.
Yeah, yeah.
And I refuse the friend. I mean, you know, sometimes my conscience tells me that you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't just be rude and refuse the connection. But screw it, I do. There's like a handful of people out there that really, to use that awful phrase, that are dead to me.
Yeah.
And it's just a handful of them. And, and that's
see, that's what I was thinking. I mean, if somebody like holds a grudge and shit, man, they can track you down, no problem.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's pretty scary shit.
Between that and like, you know, if you ever, I mean, you know, I got, you know, A friend of mine, this is actually just happened to a friend of mine just got contacted by a woman with, she sent along a letter and a photo of his baby.
Really?
Motherfucker.
Wow.
Can you imagine that?
Yeah. Well, you know what? It teaches you one thing. You know, be careful where you drop your semen. You know.
Yes, this is true.
I mean, how come I never had that happen to me, and you haven't had that happen to you?
I only banged two girls in my life.
Yeah, well, you see, but you managed to get them pregnant.
This is true. I was always happy just to throw one.
Yeah.
I was always happy. Let me just look at you, and I'll just take care of myself over here. I swear to God, that's literally. I was always just happy enough to do that. I didn't ever have to bang a girl. That's why the notches on my belt are not. Well, I have many notches on my belt. If you count what I liked as a notch.
Okay.
I was not always so intent on banging her. I was just happy, like, stand in a corner and jerk off.
Really?
Just show me. Just stand there.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, I swear to God.
Wow.
Especially because, again, I was so afraid of getting a girl pregnant. And I was scared of the whole. And I was just like, you know, if you just, like, sort of lay there, maybe just fiddle my nuts and I'll just jerk off.
That sounds like something you do with a hooker, you know?
I would go home and go to and sleep like a baby. And then
what did they think of this?
I mean, they were like, I guess, you know, I mean, well, well, that was actually cool, too, because when you're in a situation and a girl's like, no, I want you to fuck me. Yeah. That's actually pretty cool when you got a girl going, no, you didn't jerk off. No, you bang me. That's awesome.
Yeah.
But that's
funny.
It does
happen as they grow older, you know? I mean, think about this. I it seems like the women I meet and stuff are hornier than the men I know, you know?
That is so unprofessional. Sorry.
No, that's okay. It's not your show, so you're not.
Ah, that's funny. No, this is her. This is her. Okay. That was our girl. That was I think. What was I going to say? Yeah. I. What did you ask me? I got distracted. That was Susie. I'm sorry. That was Susie.
You know what the funny thing is? I forgot too.
See, you know what? I'll tell you what. She's dangerous to have around. Is Susie?
Yeah.
Because you could see. You could see yourself shacking up with a kid like this, couldn't you? Like for like a weekend, a year.
I take the fifth on that.
For like one. Well, yeah, that's right. You can't because you're the boss and you're the co-host. But I can say that like once a year I could shack up with a kid.
I'm
like
sure
that.
You could.
Once a year.
I'm sure you could.
She's too much for 7 days a week.
You think so?
Susie, too much.
Yeah, she'd overwork you to death.
Oh, no, just too much. Just busy. Just too busy and just, you know, too la 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 too much. But like it's something I could look forward to once a year.
Yeah.
Say, ooh. 3 weeks, I got Susie coming up, and then just a weekend of ridiculousness.
Yeah. Well, I mean, one thing that Susie makes you feel is old, and let me tell you why. At least she makes me feel old.
She makes me feel very
because
old.
She acts so young, and she does. She's so full of life and active and shit like this.
Yeah.
And we just go home and we fucking kick back, you know? And,
yeah.
And that's our lives.
I go home and I shut it down.
Yeah.
Even after a day of this, talking. Yeah.
Right. But you weren't like that at 26, I'm sure, right?
Oh, God. You're like all over the place. 26, I was literally all over the place.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I was literally everywhere in the country when I was 26. Oh, God, I was on cruise ships and literally just I was just a fireball of activity. And
that's
girls.
It, you know. I mean, that's when you do it in the 20s, you know.
Yeah.
You start hitting the 40s, man, and life is not that exciting anymore.
Speaking of not exciting, but like or stuff that you wouldn't think is exciting, I built my crib.
Wow, you built it yourself?
Built
or from IKEA?
I didn't hone it from a solid piece of maple.
Well,
no.
I thought that's what you meant.
Yeah. I went to the forest, chopped the tree. It was a bitch getting it back, but I got the tree now. And it was ordered online and stuff, and it was you know, but cribs are, you know, they are historically, you know, difficult in terms of the little inner workings because of the adjustable this and the.
That's
but
true.
I banged that out.
Did you? How long did it take to put something like
Let's
that
see.
Together?
In between masturbating, it took me.
You did masturbate between.
Yeah. Okay. Oh yeah.
You took breaks.
Yeah.
You're my kind of guy.
Yeah, because I imagine Susie in a diaper in the bed and just in the crate in the crib. I would say it took me all together if I did it in a row about 3 hours.
3 hours.
Yeah, because
that's quite a while.
Well, it is, but it's because some of it. There's like a lot of preparation of the part of the pieces before you put them together.
Right, you know, and they have all these slides probably and shit like that.
That's
know? Like,
the thing. It was a little bit of calibration here and there. But I got that up. And then I built the changing table, the dresser.
Wow.
I put that
DJ,
all together.
I'm impressed.
And now, but now here's the, but the tough one is coming up. The tough one is later today, because the tough one is the, we also got a cradle.
Yes.
A little cradle to put in our room for the first few
yes,
weeks.
Yes, right.
Or however long. And this cradle is, it doesn't rock like an old, it more like it glides.
Glides, yes.
Okay? It's a glider
rocker.
It's like
the latest thing, huh? Yes,
evidently, and the girl that was funny, the Mexican girl at Babies R Us, as I'm picking it up, I said, "So is this thing difficult to put together?" And she looked at me and she goes, "You're gonna do this?" And I said, "Oh my god!" And she goes, "It takes a long time to put this together."
Really?
And I said, "Really?" And she goes, "And I do it for a living. I do it for a living, and I don't want to do it no more." And I was like, oh my god. And she goes, it's terrible. This one especially is very difficult.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my god, how many accents do you have? I don't know. I'm doing three different accents for this girl. Yeah. But yeah, no, it was incredible. I mean, I to look at all the moving, because this thing has to glide perfectly, yeah. Evidently. And this
you should
little,
get a rocker like that for your wife also, you know,
we
to
have
breastfeed
to,
and stuff
we
or
have
whatever.
To get her glider. Yeah. And that thing, yeah.
Those
that's
are
big.
Awesome.
Those really
I used to, you know, rock my daughter to sleep mm-hmm. every night.
Aww.
And I would fall asleep before she did.
Yeah.
You know, with the bottle in her mouth and aww. Everything. You know? Yeah.
And
you
now
see,
you're,
I miss those times, TJ.
You're, and that's one thing, you know. That's why times. I'm glad I have, you know, some dudes like you in my life who have been there, you know. And as a resource for me, you know. Because I'm the kind of guy that, you know, I reach out when I need help, you know.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because I've just joined, I think, your club in the sense that you're oldest. Is your daughter.
Right.
And there's people have opinions about, you know, do you want an oldest girl or an oldest boy? How has it been for you?
Look, I mean, when it was a daughter for us, everybody was extremely happy because she was the first girl for many people in the family.
Oh, okay.
Like in mine, for example, we're three brothers, you
right,
know?
Right.
So that was nice.
Yeah.
And so everybody was extremely happy. And, you know, a girl, they say a girl brings light to the house.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And she does, you know. Yeah. I mean, she did. And but, you know, now she's 18 years old. She barely wants to see me, TJ. And you know what? I can see you as a very involved dad from day one.
Uh-huh.
And that's the way I was, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's such a shock. It's a shocker for you to suddenly find out your daughter's, like, drifting away.
Wow.
You know, I mean, she's in town now. I can barely see her.
Really?
Yeah. The only time she calls when she needs me to pick her up, to take her to eat, blah,
really?
Blah, blah, shit like that, you
and
know?
Now,
and
you,
after a while, you just feel used,
how
you know?
Do you, how do you handle, because in the end, it is your daughter, and you know that it's life, and you were a teenager before, and it's like, and as a girl, so it's a totally different thing, but, you know, do you, or even if you do take it, do you take it personally, or do you take it personally, and then you say, well, this is life. I'm her father.
Yeah.
It'll change again. One of these days, it'll go. It's cyclical, you know.
That's exactly what I do.
Yeah,
that's exactly what I do. I sort of like wish it could get better again, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's painful. I try not to think about it.
Really,
too much.
Well,
yeah.
It really gets.
It's
to
very
you,
painful, of
yeah,
course.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I mean, I've been so close with her.
Yeah.
You know, and then you know, as they get older, they probably get their head filled with bullshit from their other parent and shit. You know, when they're old enough to understand.
Right.
And they get poison.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it happens all the time.
And yet, so. Now you and Sean are still.
Yes. We're still very
at the
close.
Hip, right? You
very
two.
Close.
Yeah.
Very
and you,
close.
And you yeah. see more of him? You hang out socially?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course. Of course, yeah.
And your daughter and I.
Just
think
last night, we went over to some family. We lit the first candle.
That's right. Happy Hanukkah, by the way.
Thank you very much.
Happy Hanukkah. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yes. The holiday of lights.
Yes, it is. And do you know, I found out something very interesting from that Jewish guest of ours.
Uh-huh.
About the
Alkali, right? Lisa Alkali.
Lisa Alkali Klug.
Klug.
The thing about the oil. Did you hear about that? That
yeah,
oil,
yeah. Well, of course, you're raised on this these stories,
right?
Know?
And
yeah.
and the idea that it was from the olives on the olive branch that Noah.
Oh, is that what she said?
That's right.
Okay.
Evidently, they say that the oil that they burned for the 8 days and eight nights was from the olives. Noah, when the dove came back with the olive branch to show that land was there,
right?
There it was an olive branch. Noah planted that olive or the pit from the olive, whatever,
right.
and grew olive trees. And that that the oil that burned for right. the Israelites for those 8 days and eight nights was from the olive oil from the original
right.
from the original from
definitely
that.
Sounds like a great children's story, right?
Wow, you
yeah.
are just you are
you, know
you are cold to your religion, aren't you?
No,
don't even want to hear about it.
No, I'm because no, I'm not cold at all. It's not that. It's
I don't mean
religion.
Cold like in a personal.
Right.
Way. I mean
no,
like
no.
You've kind of been numb to it.
Yes, I have because I you know as I grow older, I realize that religion is really sort of a crutch for people. You know, and it has been for me in the past as well.
Has it?
Yes, yes, and it's helped me quite a bit. But I got to tell you, people that live religiously based on that Bible, my God, you know, they just. Nothing else matters except that. And we're dealing with stories, even if they happen, they're so fucking ancient. You know, I mean...
Oh, some of them are good, though. I mean, even...
Yeah,
I mean,
they're great stories.
But even if they happen, I mean...
Great stories, but you, for you to base your whole life based on these stories, come on, you know? I mean, you know...
Right.
And who cares about the olive branch and shit, you know?
Uh-huh.
And but these are children's stories. I mean, that's what they tell you. You know, the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed, and then the Maccabees came, blah blah blah. Who were the soldiers at the time? The Jewish soldiers, blah blah blah.
Right.
And they go in, and the Greeks have destroyed everything, dumped all the oil and stuff like that. So they couldn't light.
Greeks.
Yeah. So they couldn't light anything.
Right.
So. So yeah, so and then they found a little, what is it? They found some oil,
right,
hidden.
Right. Yeah.
And then they did this. So that, like a whole story develops around this.
Yeah.
You know, I just don't have any interest or time in this shit.
But
yeah,
you used
it's
to.
It's great for kids. Yeah,
right.
I have. I mean, I did in the past.
Right.
But you know,
but
now I don't
what
know.
Changed?
I don't know.
You changed or the world changed? Sam,
I
let's
changed.
Talk. Let's
I
talk
changed.
About it.
I changed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For the better
yeah.
or the worse?
Well.
I don't know.
Well,
like
that's a judgment
I
call.
I have no
that's up to
idea.
You.
I'm just looking to be a controversial interviewer. Yeah. I don't know.
No, no, dude, that's fine. I don't know if it's for better or for worse, to tell you the truth.
It's obviously for
but
the
who
better.
But who
obviously
knows?
Obviously for the better because life is about progress.
I suppose. I
you know?
Suppose.
And
I
maybe know. Maybe that religion, maybe all the religion that you relied on and absorbed during those years that you said that you did rely upon it, maybe that filled you up with enough of what you needed and you didn't so much turn your back on it or walk away from it or whatever, but you,
I
saw,
definitely
you moved
did
on. You moved on.
Yes, but I've kept my religion as heritage more, you
right,
know,
right.
as the culture, the tradition, the so forth. But but all the rituals, I can't connect with them at
you
all.
You know what? I was very happy to see... You see, I'm fascinated by certain things, and you know, I think I've mentioned to you that I watch the Chabad telethon every year.
Oh, you do?
I watch it every
really?
Every fucking year. That nothing kills me more than a bunch of dancing Hasidim.
Yeah,
and especially Lubavitch Hasidim, you know, and I was with my wife over. We were driving somewhere over in Hollywood. And from Hollywood into West Hollywood, and I come across it said I want to say it was oh yeah it was Moishe's, and it was Hasidic hats and overcoats and this and I was I'm we're at a red light and my wife is so used to this for me all of a sudden I go that's where they get their stuff. Like that. She goes, what? I said, there, look at this, Moishe's. That's where they get, that's what's one of the places where they can get their hats and they can get this and they can get that.
Yeah, they have special
yeah,
stuff.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I've often wondered that. And y'all, and obviously, you know, you figure in Crown Heights and different places around the place. You know, there's obviously going to be stores in the Fairfax District. And now I'm sure they do a lot of mail order and stuff. But that fascinated me, first of all. And part of me wanted to go in and get a hat.
Yeah,
because I collect hats.
You do?
I have a hat collection.
Really?
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
So you definitely owe yourself.
I really want one.
Now, owe it to yourself to get one.
I tell you what's really fascinating though is when you see in like in New York, like around the Diamond District, is when you see like the really heavy duty. They look like they're out of turn of the century Russia.
Yeah.
Hasidim who wear the big fur ones, the big fur
hats. Oh yeah,
hats
those are ultra.
Those are like ultra. Like holy shit! I mean. What? Let me ask you this. You can tell me this, and I've always wondered this because I love knowing a little about a lot.
Yeah.
What is that thing that they wrap around their arm and the thing they put on their head?
Okay.
What is that?
That is a very holy thing. It's called tefillin.
It's a okay.
Tefillin. Okay.
Tefillin.
Right. What it is this? It's like two wooden boxes.
Okay.
Okay. And inside there's scrolls. Okay. With certain parts from the Bible or whatever.
Okay.
Now, what you do is, and they have leather straps.
Yes.
Right? Those little boxes.
Right, right.
Okay. One you wrap around your head with a box like on your forehead.
Like on the forehead. Right.
Sticks from your forehead.
Right.
The other one you tie around your left arm. And there's a box as well. And then you tie it in a certain way around your fingers. So it creates the Hebrew letter Shin. Okay.
This is awesome. Yeah. Go ahead.
So, no, it is. You
this
see, that's
is
the
fascinating.
Thing.
I
it
love
is very
this
fascinating yeah. to know about this.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something you're supposed to put on every day from Sunday through Friday. The men put it on in the morning. They
right.
say their prayers, and
right.
then they take it off and go about their day.
Right.
And it's a very holy thing to do, you know.
Sure.
And people feel that it's a very important thing. It rejuvenates them.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never felt that, but you know, maybe I never connected to it.
Mm-hmm.
Because really, in Judaism, when you do the rituals, you have to connect. You have to understand why you do them and what
mm-hmm.
what it is that they do for you.
Right.
You know, not just blindly. So yeah. So they put that up on, and if you notice when they go to the Wailing Wall,
yeah.
they put those on when they pray
right.
and stuff. And but there's a whole. You see, when you learn the Kabbalah, then you
right.
really learn some things behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And supposedly, like, the reason you put it on your left arm, because the left is considered the negative energy. You know, right and left.
Sure,
you know,
sure,
plus
sure.
and minus.
Sure, sure.
Positive, negative.
Sure.
So you're sort of like trying to bind your negative side.
Wow.
You know?
Wow.
And then you sort of like center with your head and so forth.
Yeah.
And the head is the highest part of the body, which is, you know, if the energy comes from above, this is the
right.
this is how it enters the body. So it's those kind of things. And I'm sure there's so much more to know about that.
Wow. And now you've done that?
Yeah, I have. When you get your bar mitzvah at 13, uh-huh. that's when you first put it on.
Okay.
Then you keep them, and mine have stayed in the drawer since then.
But you still actually yeah. have them?
Yes. But you
wow.
know that after a while, they're not... quote-unquote kosher anymore. You can't
they have
use
to,
them.
They have, you have to, really, they have to be
yeah.
refreshed.
I'm just wondering if it's because the people that make them mm-hmm. need to make some extra money.
Well, sure, they're Jews.
So
they
do like Tefillin 2.0 and 2.5, you know.
Tefillin
like
2.0.
Yeah, like with software upgrades, you know. You need to upgrade every year, you know.
That is so
freaking hysterical.
I don't
know, because otherwise I can't see how it wouldn't be anymore, how it wouldn't be good after
unless
a few
they
years,
just have to
know?
Go get, maybe take them to a temple and they get blessed or something like that, right?
Yeah.
That would sort of freshen up their juice.
Yeah.
That's
something like
fascinating.
That.
I
yeah.
love that.
There's a
I
lot of stuff like, I mean, if you like this stuff, I'll give you some really interesting stuff I learned in the Kabbalah mm-hmm. Courses that I took.
When
I was
did
back
you take Kabbalah?
I was in Israel. I lived in Israel for a year in 1997.
Okay.
And I took Kabbalah. Like the whole time I was there.
Really?
And then when I came here and I went to the Kabbalah Center, that's when I sort of like felt alienated from them and I left. Because
you
it was really
it was
different.
Scam. You realized
it's not a scam.
Well, I'm
DJ,
sorry. I'd rather
but
you,
they started chasing me for money all
that's,
the time.
Well,
yeah.
That kind of puts it in the scam territory.
It really puts you off.
It
yes.
puts you in the scam
but
territory.
But you know what? In religion, they all do that. So, you know, I mean.
Yeah, but yeah. but you know what? I think there's a difference between like having set numbers and ridiculous. I mean, put it this way. My Catholic Church, it's like, you know, you give what you can. Catholicism is not tithing. You know, they don't
right.
have that 10% that you're supposed to get, like, right. like Baptist churches or whatever. You know, I mean, I got my good weeks and my bad weeks. There are some times of the year that I'm given like literally $4 or $5.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
yeah.
I'm giving $4 or $5. And they don't
yeah.
come hunt me down. They know
yeah.
I'm giving what I can.
Yeah.
Whereas some place, I don't think of a place like Scientology.
Yeah. Who
you know,
knows?
I mean, and when you get into big numbers, like, you know, when Kabbalah is selling Kabbalah water.
Yeah. Yeah.
$4 a bottle.
We'll talk about that, but I don't want to keep our guest waiting
too
long.
Oh, okay.
We're calling an author, and her name is Marshawn Evans. And let's see where she is. And her book is Skirts in the Boardroom.
Yes.
And, there's a subtitle to it, too. Oh, I guess it would help if I dial the number, too, right?
Studio City current weather is 57
yes.
degrees and raining, which makes it feel like Hanukkah, doesn't it?
Yes.
And Christmas.
You know what? I think
I
think our phone system just crashed, so let's try that again.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess all these things happen sometimes,
okay, well,
right?
I'll just keep doing this then. Rain showers early, becoming more intermittent by the afternoon. High 57 degrees. Wind southwest at 10-20
yeah.
miles per hour.
It will really matter to the people that listen a month from now.
Yes,
you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, I'm thinking of adding some really cool segments to the show. So I do invite everybody to stay tuned. You know, I mean, beginning January 5th with the new year, we're going to have a lot of exciting things happening with the station. Namely, the new schedule, the new channel that we're going to have.
Oh, ringing.
And, yeah, and somebody's calling us right as we're calling. So
oh,
please call
Susie?
Back in a second. No, I don't know.
Speaking.
Yes, good morning. Is this Marshawn Evans?
Yes.
Yes, good morning. This is Sam and Susie in the morning calling from Los Angeles. Although Susie's not here, so we have TJ McCormick. How are you doing this morning, Marshawn?
Very good, thank you.
Great. And where are we calling you?
I am in Dallas at the moment.
Oh, Dallas.
Great town.
Wonderful, wonderful. Now, we wanted to ask you a little bit, obviously, about the book. It's called Skirts in the Boardroom. And this is sort of a field guide for women in business and life. Can you tell us a little bit about this? I mean, what specifically can people expect from this book?
Well, Skirts in the Boardroom is a business advice book for women who are looking to enhance their careers in corporate America, and also for women who are business owners and entrepreneurs as well.
Right. And now, what does Skirts stand for? Obviously, it's an acronym.
Yes, Skirts is an acronym. It stands for Sisterhood, Knowledge, Integrity, Respect, Tenacity, and Substance. And the sisterhood component is really, really critical. I think that oftentimes, you know, women haven't been encouraged to form a network of women in terms of helping them advance their careers with mentoring and having a support system for advice. And I think it's really critical because women haven't traditionally had that. They haven't been in executive leadership roles for a long period of time. This is still something fairly new.
Right.
So having a strong network is really critical, and that's one of the things that Skirts in the Boardroom talks about.
Right. Now, do you feel that women have, let's say at least until now, have always had a disadvantage in the workplace?
Well, I think that the male style of leadership and communication has been the traditional style.
Right.
And so a woman's perspective and a woman's style of leadership and communication hasn't always been the prevailing standard of what is acceptable. And so it has probably in the past been looked on as a disadvantage. I think now women actually have an advantage because they can learn from both the male and female style.
What actually constitutes, excuse me, Marshawn, what actually, this is TJ McCormick, what actually constitutes a woman's perspective of leadership versus a man's style of leadership? I wonder what the differentiation would be.
Well, women traditionally formulate their decision-making process, their communication style, their leadership style, has traditionally been more relationship-driven, whereas studies show that males are more results-driven.
Right.
And similarly, women... Did you say you agree?
I didn't say I agreed or disagreed. No.
Yeah, no, it was just a question.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's a traditional way that they've made a distinction between the way women and men develop. And
right.
Some people would say that there's an inherent advantage in being results-oriented, and I kind of disagree. I think that being relationship-driven is what keeps deals together at the end of the day, and so I think that women can learn from both in terms of incorporating a results-oriented approach, but still maintaining relationships in the process, and so fundamentally, that's where the differences start.
Yeah.
When you think back to when you're a child, the guys kind of choose their team based off of who can run the fast, who can throw the ball the quickest, and that's how you make your team. Well, with women or young girls, they are wanting to make sure they can build relationships, and they want to make sure everyone feels okay.
Right.
And so they use a different process for forming their team. And so there is a fundamental difference in how we develop.
Right. And I know I have seen books and stuff about how management styles are different, and also how they today they're promoting relationships in business. So I think this totally makes sense. You know, I mean, even for men, I think it wouldn't hurt to focus on relationships in the workplace with customers and so forth.
Well, everybody likes good service at the end of the day. When you're looking at two businesses or two opportunities to buy a product from a company where the product essentially is the same, the relationship is going to be what makes the difference.
Right.
And especially right now when we're dealing with tough economic times where people are losing jobs and consumers are having to make even tighter choices and more discerning choices, I think the relationships are really what is sustaining people. When you look at companies who are growing, a lot of them are relationship-oriented industries that are still being able to maintain their growth because of their relationships.
Right, right. Now, you've been in business for a while. Have you held executive positions and stuff in different companies?
Well, I started out in the legal sector, actually,
and
was associate at one of the largest law firms in Atlanta, practicing commercial litigation and employment law, and decided to leave to start up a branding agency called Edge Sports and Entertainment, and we largely represent professional athletes in NFL, NBA, WNBA, Major League Baseball. So I was probably designed more to be an employer than an employee,
right,
but I've been
right
on both sides of the table.
I see, yeah. And I think ultimately everyone finds, I think, that when they pursue their own dreams, there's a lot more satisfaction in that than merely having a job and working for someone
that's
else.
That's a very good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I think a lot of times people, I say, live out of a suitcase packed for somebody else.
Right.
Because they look at what somebody else has obtained in terms of their degree of success and even the wealth maybe that they've obtained and want to follow that exact career path, but that may not be leveraging their gifts and their skills.
Right.
So when you take part of this assessment process that I go through at the end of each chapter is a self-reflection. And towards the beginning of the book, I talk about knowing yourself. You know, you need to have your own mission statement. You need to know what your skills are. You need to know what your brand is.
Right.
So that you can properly be on the path and, you know, running your lane versus running in somebody else's.
Right.
A unique part of your journey, once again, Sam and Susie, and I'm TJ filling in for Susie, we're talking to Marshawn Evans. Marshawn, a unique part of your journey is your time as a contestant in beauty pageants, and one of the pinnacles was when you were Miss District of Columbia. You finished third runner-up in the Miss America competition. You won the talent and interview portions, and by the way, you're still a fantastic interview.
Yeah, you seem to know a lot about Marshawn.
Yeah,
you sure you meant never met before?
Never met before, and I've never been given a piece of paper about her either. I just know all this.
I see.
He knows how
to channel.
Yeah. How did participating in beauty pageants set you up for your professional career?
Pageants was an interesting experience. I think anytime you go through something that's competitive, you certainly grow as an individual. And I learned a lot about mental toughness and the importance of not comparing yourself to other people when you have a particular goal at hand. And comparisons are always result in something negative. Either you have too high an image of yourself, which can lead to disaster, or you begin to become jealous or envious of other people. So
right,
being focused on your task at hand is probably the first thing that I learned. But, you know, I gained a lot of resources.
Mm-hmm.
I won over $80,000 in scholarships from the Miss America competition.
Nice.
And to have a national platform to speak on I was a spokesperson for the Invest in Youth for a Safer Future campaign.
Okay.
So I traveled around the world advocating the importance of community investments in children, and to develop that skill at the age of 21, to develop that network of resources was wonderful. And now I can help my clients in terms of their public speaking, and with my athlete clients, helping them with their foundations, not just to set them up from the legal end, but then taking my background in branding and being able to understand how we really make the biggest impact in the community. So all of your experiences, and I talk about this in the book, Skirts in the Boardroom as well, all of your experiences are really designed to put you in a great position for where you want to go in the future. No one would think that being in the Miss America pageant and being on The Apprentice would possibly help me as a lawyer working with professional athletes, but all of those things work together.
Wow, amazing. So you were on The Apprentice?
I was.
Oh,
TJ,
wow.
TJ had to know that. TJ.
Yeah, it's right here. It's at the top of that page.
TJ.
Yeah.
You're embarrassing me, TJ. I mean, you didn't know everything.
And, well, you know what? She's only 29 years old.
Really?
Right?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, so, really? Only 29?
It's right
wow.
here. Same paragraph.
I mean, but she talks like she's been around. Yeah. Well, you definitely know what you're talking about, and that's cool. Let me ask you this. I'm really curious about this. Do you feel there's still very much the concept of a glass ceiling in the corporate world?
Not at all. Come on. Come on. Say no. Say no. Come on, Marshall.
Let her tell us. Go ahead.
I think the glass ceiling is changing. I think traditionally there was a challenge with women being able to get into executive level leadership, and that is changing slowly but surely. One of the things that's forcing the change is the fact that women are now outnumbering men in graduate schools and higher education.
Very interesting.
They are making more money. We have more disposable income, more opportunity than really at any other point in history. So those trends, you'll begin to see even more of a difference in terms of women in leadership roles.
Right.
We're starting to see equal compensation, at least at base level compensation, but there's still a challenge with women receiving equal benefits. And when you add in the comprehensive packages, women aren't being compensated in the same way that men are.
Really?
So there is potentially a glass ceiling. I don't necessarily see it myself. There are challenges that I face every day as a woman in the world of sports and entertainment, but I can either use that as an excuse or use it as an energizer to work even harder.
Right.
And I don't really find that I have a disadvantage. I think that being a woman gives me a different perspective. And as long as your difference adds value in the marketplace, you'll always be in high demand. And so that's really how you should look at it instead of even paying attention to a glass ceiling.
Yeah, well, that totally makes sense. You know, and especially there's a lot of women, leading great companies now. And yeah. I think, you know, it's really...
Well, I love references to barriers. As long as the people referring to the barriers, and this is I'm actually complimenting you here, Marshawn, in the sense that as long as those people talking about barriers are talking about them the way you just referred to the quote unquote glass ceiling, I think all too often people will talk about certain barriers as just that, as immovable objects, things that cannot be shattered, and that automatically instills a vicious cycle of being a victim and right. lack of success. Right. And so I'm saying, and that's why I'm all for that kind of reference to a glass ceiling as something is almost in the past tense and something that can be shattered.
Right.
So I congratulate you on not going down the typical route of talking of you know like some turn of the century suffragette, but rather as a woman of the 21st century saying, you know, this is all kind of a thing of the past. I have my, and also acknowledging the fact that you have certain real advantages by being by virtue of being a woman. That's refreshing to hear a woman say that, as opposed to pulling out a beautiful pink violin and saying it's never going to change for me because I'm a woman.
Yeah.
So congratulations on that, Marshawn.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. I mean, I use the philosophy that, you know, impossible is only an opinion, and it's your opinion that counts in terms of whether something is movable or not.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that ever is or ever was first started as an idea, and absolutely. Then from there, someone had to believe in their ability to make their idea a reality. Right. So there's really no difference between Donald Trump and any person other than perception of self. You know,
yes.
Access to resources certainly doesn't help. Certainly doesn't hurt, but you know, I will take someone with fewer resources and more drive than in the reverse. I think the person with more resources and less drive will always stay stagnant.
Well, that's amazing, you know, and I must congratulate you. I've read part of the book, and I really think that moving away from the victim position and more into the empowered, I can do this and I can do that, I think is what we need, you know, and I think that's what you're doing with the book, and that's why I greatly recommend it. Skirts in the Boardroom, Marshawn Evans.
Yeah.
Do you have a website that we can all go to? I'm sure the book can be had anywhere.
Absolutely. I'm in the marketing world. Of course, I have a website. My website is skirtsintheboardroom.com, and you can certainly connect with me on there. I invite people to stop at the blog and leave their comments. And the book's available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Borders, wherever books are sold. But there's also a resource I want to leave with you all, because I know people are struggling right now. There is an issue with access to jobs, and there's a website called amightyriver.com.
Uh-huh.
And it's a social networking site for professionals that has a job board powered by Monster, and there's access to six-figure jobs. And so there is opportunity still available. People need to be online networking. You need to have your resume uploaded. So I invite people to connect with me also at amightyriver.com and also skirtsintheboardroom.com.
Wonderful. Marshawn Evans, thank you so much for your time.
Your package is shipping today.
Whoops.
Sorry.
Okay. TJ is doing something with his computer. We thank you for being here. TJ, thank you very much.
Sorry, I was trying to go to amightyriver.com, yeah. And I went over.
Don't
sorry.
You just hate those sites that start
they
playing
just
music?
Start
right
blasting
away?
Music. Yeah. It wasn't your site, by the way, Marshawn.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much, Marshawn.
Happy holidays.
Yes, and happy holidays
to you. Thank you.
Thank
happy
you.
Happy holidays to you as well.
All the best.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All right.
Oh, that is so awful. You go past one page and I know it's like blah, 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 blah.
I know. That's why I don't like MySpace
it's
at all. It
so
always
obnoxious.
Does that.
It's so obnoxious. Oh, my God.
I know.
Yeah, I that was a very interesting interview.
Right. And, okay, so we're going to take a little break.
No
yes,
break.
We are.
No.
We're going to take a little break because Susan's going to come.
Die, die, ainu. Hey.
It's my fucking show, TJ.
And you know what? And I'm going to hijack your religion.
Thank
I'm going to do to your religion what Bin Laden did to whatever.
Thank you. We'll be back right after this.
The folks at Cash for Gold gave you a great way to make money from old, unwanted, broken jewelry. Now they've got an even hotter idea. Cash for sex.
Normally, I work 40 hours a week on my feet just to pay the bills. But thanks to Cash for Sex, I can earn just as much in 4 hours on my back.
From truck stops to business conventions, there's always an opportunity to make cash for sex.
And when I'm done, all I do is mail her a sample. And Cash for Sex sends me a check in just a couple of days.
It's the sultry, safe, secure way to make money. Call Cash for Sex today.
I'm glad I did. Hey, baby, you want a date? You're not a cop, are you?
You are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
I'm an elf.
And I'm a MILF.
I work at the North Pole.
Younger guys imagine me swinging from a pole.
Well, I hang out with reindeer.
I've been called a cougar.
I help Santa stuff his sack.
I'm stuffed into this bra.
I make toys that are a big hit.
My son's friends say they would hit that.
Christmas comes but once a year.
No comment.
Oh, darn it.
Okay, and I'm back with TJ McCormick in the studio.
Yes.
TJ, thank you so much for coming in. I always love having you around.
I love being here, man. I really enjoy this show. I am Mr. LA Talk Radio today.
Yes, you are.
Yeah.
You're doing shows throughout?
All friggin' morning.
Wow.
I'm like a marathon.
Really?
Yeah, I'm on with you.
What shows? What other shows?
I'm on with you, and then I'm doing Alan Cardoza's show.
Are you really?
I'm subbing in for Alan with a guest of his.
Oh.
And we're doing a show. We were supposed to have a gangbanger.
Is he still ill or what?
Yeah.
He was sick last week.
Yeah, he was sick as a dog. I couldn't even talk.
Wow.
And
so that was nice of you.
Yeah, well, I'm a nice guy.
Yeah.
And then I do my show. And on my show today, I've got... I left the book out in the car, but I've got an interview of my own with a guy who wrote a book called "Guilty by Reason of Stupidity," and it's a book about this guy's he's a DA in New York. He's a New York district attorney and works in a DA's office, and it's about ridiculous moments in the courtroom, out of control judges, stupid juries, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So really interesting, funny stories from New York. The world of New York City law, and comedian Mark Wilde, an old buddy of mine from like back in the late 80s, early 90s.
Really?
Like 88, 89.
Have you guys kept in touch
and,
all this
time? Oh, yeah. Really? On and off. And sometimes really. We wrote a movie together, a little thing called Dumb and Dumber. And
you wrote Dumb and Dumber?
Please, Jesus.
Right.
My Cadillac would at least be an STS, not a CTS. Anyway, so Mark is just, he is 0 to 60 funny. He shows up and is just, I put it this way, I've never seen Mark Wilde do anything but kill an audience.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
I mean,
I'm definitely going to be listening.
Yeah, we all have shows where we do, you know, good show. I've never seen him do that. I've seen him only destroy rooms.
Really?
Yes.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. I like funny people.
Very funny guy.
Yeah. Now, listen, I see Susie's not calling. Maybe she fell asleep or something. So why don't we call her?
Yeah, call her.
Okay, we're going to call Susie and see what she's been up to. And
Israel.
Yeah, but you know what?
Threatens a major offensive against Gaza. Go, go, go. I say do it.
You know what? We just crashed the phone system again. I don't know what the hell's going on here. But
do we have a
wait
virus
for just
or something
a second.
Like that?
I don't know what happens, but sometimes you have to restart the computer. I got to tell you, man, it's like I've been so overwhelmed with computer problems this past week.
Well, your whole life is computers. We're surrounded. We got three in one room right here.
I know, but you know what? The thing is that I'm guessing.
Somebody just.
Oh, good.
Somebody's here.
Our guest is here.
I just heard somebody cough.
Yes. Our guest is here. Okay, so, Susie,
hey,
where are you?
Hi. How are you?
Okay. So, I'll tell you what. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be back. Is this Susie? No. Okay, well, we're going to call back in a... call back. We'll be back in just a few. You can hear there's noise here. So, stay with us. We'll be back.
This is how you turn it on. This is how you purchase music. And this...
Oh, you gotta be kidding me over here!
...is the sound New Yorkers make when they realize they're being taxed just to download music from iTunes.
There's something about the way you try. Getting right to me, deeper than it really should. What are you, an angel, or just looking that good? When you take your time, you are so divine. I'm not surprised, I'd like to watch you in this now. There's something about the way you look tonight.
say what we want.
Okay, and we're back. And TJ, thank you so much for bringing our guest in the studio.
Yeah.
Good morning to you.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Good, good. We are happy to have you. In fact, we've been trying to get you to come here, and you came here once, and we weren't here.
That's so right. You're really irreverent.
Yes, there you go. We don't respect our guests at all. No, but thank you for coming in now. And so introduce yourself to us, to TJ.
Hi, TJ.
Hello.
Hi, Sam. I'm Lori Santos.
And you were referred to us by Gigi Gardner,
That's
right?
That's right.
Yeah, are you good friends?
She was on my show, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she reached out to me, and I had her on as a guest, and we had a rockin' time. And then she told me she was on your show, and she said,
yeah.
Call them up. I said,
That's
okay.
right. You have a radio show, too, right?
I do, yeah.
Where can we hear that?
You can listen to it at blogtalkradio.com /
okay.
Extreme Dream
right.
Radio.
Yeah, that's the Dark Star, you know, in the you know the the Death Star.
The Death Star. That's,
yeah. Oh,
that's,
that's the dark side of radio.
That's the dark side
but,
of radio.
But how long have you been doing that?
Let's see. It's been about a year, I'd say.
Really?
Yeah.
And you developed an audience and everything.
Yeah, we have an international audience, so it's a lot of fun. I'm a certified coach, so we do a lot of motivational and inspirational stuff, but some unconventional things.
Yeah. And what's the show called?
It's called Extreme Dream Radio.
Extreme Dream Radio.
We're bucking
on
the system.
Talk radio.
Yeah.
Yes.
You're what?
We're bucking the system.
Oh, you're
there
bucking.
Was. No, it's with a B, with a B.
How dare you come on this fine show? A lot of flipping nerve this one coming in here. Okay.
That's awesome. So you're a life coach. What does that mean?
I am.
And cheer up, damn it.
I know.
Go ahead.
On this rainy, dismal
Good
day.
Good Lord, woman. You're bringing us down. All this energy. Good Lord. Go ahead. Sorry.
And I haven't even had coffee
you're,
this
I was
going to
say, you're a cup of coffee with a scoff.
Yeah.
That's
what
you are. Goodness gracious.
A life coach is somebody who holds you accountable to your goals and your dreams. So you know how you have a fitness trainer and they're holding you accountable to your workout. I do that with your life.
Oh, nice.
And, you know, my wife and I, and there's people who have different definitions. Everybody, I'm sure, you know, you refer to yourself as a life coach. Other people have different. My wife and I went, and as Sam knows, we went and we saw Tony Robbins last April. And it was an unbelievable experience that and I'm someone who likes to think I'm the smartest guy in the room, and sometimes I am. But sometimes I think I'm smarter than these programs or ideologies or whatever. And the end result was a spectacular weekend, and B, my wife has been who's a business owner and an expectant mom, and she's done the coaching. She went and dropped that coin. And and talk about being held accountable. It was one of those things where this guy is a taskmaster. He knew he made it his business to know everything. In other words, you'll have a client who will you find yourself with a client who's in an area that you've never had let's say a client who wants to start a publishing company. Is it then incumbent upon you to go and learn whatever it is you can know about the publishing industry? No.
No. Because they can come to me and tell me what their visions and their goals and their ideas are. And then we'll co-create a plan that is personal for them, and I hold them accountable to their plan. I don't need to know anything about the background of their industry at all.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's what's really rocking about it, because I can learn. I do learn at the same time about
right,
them
right.
while they're learning the process of coaching, because I'm teaching them coaching language and verbiage as well as special tools to put in their toolkit so they can go out in the world and be extremely successful.
Right. Huh. And how long have you been doing that?
8 years.
Really?
8 years.
And what qualifies you to tell people, let's say, how to live their life?
She's a hell of a nudge.
Well, I was a United States probation and parole officer for 10 years.
Get the hell. United States?
Yeah,
so
I worked
federal?
For the federal government. Yeah, I worked for the federal government. And I worked with folks who really didn't have any life skills. I got a master's in administration of justice, and before that I was teaching. And I had gotten my undergrad in anthropology, studying, you know, humans and so on and so forth in life ways. I do too. I really do.
Wow.
But what happened was I was miserable as a federal probation officer.
Really?
Not because of the clients that I was working with, but because of my administration and my colleagues who were just jaded and negative and down.
Really?
And I inadvertently discovered the world of life coaching, and I went to a few different schools and I got certified.
Yeah.
So I say that I'm qualified in being a coach because I've walked the talk and I've been through the coaching programs myself. I have a coach.
Sure.
And then, of course, I learned how to do it followed various techniques, and I implement them in my business.
And you're a disciple. I mean, is it like a George Kinder type of thing? Is it who are you a disciple of?
Yeah, I went to,
for lack of a better term,
I went to a school called the Coaches Training Institute, and another one called the Coaches Training Alliance, and they're both certified by the International Coaching Federation, which is an accredited body that basically certifies various coaching schools out there.
Cool. Yeah. Are you familiar with that Kinder guy?
I don't think so. Yeah. I don't think so.
No, he's actually based here in Southern California.
Is that right?
My father-in-law, my wife's from England, my father-in-law in Liverpool is actually, you can find him on this guy's website. He's one of two people in England who are certified with this guy's program.
Oh, yeah. You know, actually, I've sat in on a telecall that he's done
George
once.
George Kinder.
Yes. Yeah. Now that rings a bell.
And
yeah.
That one, and there's another one, too. There's another one. Oh, what the heck's his name? It drove me nuts because it was a guy that I knew somebody else with the exact same name, and I want to say Dan. There's quite a few. It's a burgeoning industry.
It is, and it's about the last 20 years. It's been really
people need to do their research, don't they?
They really
potential
do.
Clients before they when they eventually get to you. They're going to have to walk through some muck to get to you, because I'm sure there's people hanging a shingle out there going, I'm a life coach.
TJ, thank you for saying that.
Because, you are very damn welcome.
You have no idea. I'm so appreciative of that, because so many folks, I tell them, I ask them when they call me up, a prospect, hey, have you interviewed other coaches? Have you done complimentary coaching consultations with other coaches before you come to me? I want to make sure. I don't just take anybody on.
Right.
I want to work with someone who's really committed to their success and is going to do the work, as well as knows what the industry is about, knows about me, and we're going to be a good fit. Because if you're not a good fit, I'm going to say, you know what? I'm going to work with someone else. Come back later on when you're really ready.
Sure.
But I really believe in preserving the integrity of the industry, because you're right. A lot of people are going, I'm a life coach. And I'm like, really? What school did you go to? Where'd you get certified?
Yeah.
It's
really
true.
Wow. I just tell everybody to just wake up and smell the coffee and they should make sure they hydrate.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, what? You know, I mean, it's... it's definitely what, you know, I feel the same way. I've been a comic for more than 20 years, and sometimes, you know, you find yourself in an industry where, you know, it's great, it's really dominated by mediocrity, and people give you a bad name, you know, like there was a time when, you know, people, you know, started giving, you know, whatever a bad name, you know, so you have to really march through and hang your flag let people know that you know that it's not just like a bunch of people out there who take a telecourse and that's it.
I would imagine if you've been doing it for 8 years, you know, surviving on that, then you must be doing something right.
I'm trying. I'm walking the talk too. I'm a work in progress as well.
Are you an original Angeleno? Were you born here?
I was not. I was born up in the San Francisco Bay Area, but this is my second time living in Los Angeles. I actually just moved back a year and a half ago. I was living in Spain and Portugal last year for 6 months. Yeah.
Nice.
That was my dream.
I was going to say.
That was my dream.
Sounds like it. Wow.
Well, what had happened was I was actually coaching part-time alongside of being a federal officer, and I was coaching all these people to go live out their most extreme dreams.
Right.
And I was sitting at home on the phone coaching people, and I'd get off the phone and go, that was really great, but man, my life sucks. You know, I'm really not that happy here. So I hired a new coach, and we put together a new plan, and in about 16 months, I moved to Spain and Portugal, and so that was last year in January.
Nice.
And I went over there to be a volunteer and lived in a little pueblo, and I was the only American, and it was really interesting being the only American in this little pueblo where generations just came from that little pueblo, never even went outside that little pueblo to like Madrid or anything like that.
No,
we live and we die in Castuera, Spain.
Yeah, it's like, who's the stranger speaking funny, you know? With this funny language and stuff.
It's very true.
And a pueblo is like
a little town.
A Spanish kibbutz.
That's a good description.
Little
of
town
it.
Of town, yep.
See, I tell you what, people like you frighten me, and I'll tell you why. It's not because you sneak up on me and go boo, but rather, I'll tell you what, because I know, and this makes me the ultimate, the ultimate candidate for a life coach, is that I know exactly what it is I have to do.
Oh, let me tell you,
and
you are right.
And I am lazy and fearful.
Yeah.
I am scared. I am afraid. Fear literally dominate, and I'm very open. It rules me. Really? I'm very open about it. I'm very, very, very willing to you know, cop to that.
What's underneath the fear, Lori?
Is that what most people have? I mean, because I was going to ask you, like, what's the biggest problem that people have?
Big time fear.
So fear, right?
Yeah, and what happens is, and it's like, oh my gosh, I got to tell you, I went into coach mode.
I can tell. What's underneath the fear?
What does that look like? What's that taste like?
Right.
So I'm like, okay, stop coaching. But no, really, it is about the sabotage. Most people, believe it or not, would rather sit in contentment or familiarity rather than be fulfilled.
Absolutely.
And there's a big difference between contentment and fulfillment, right?
Big. Being content is one thing. And being content, you could also translate it saying, well, as just being, as being content is being complacent.
Yeah.
Because you're in a comfort zone. And once you step outside that comfort zone of that little bit of contentment, when you have just enough.
Right.
And sometimes sometimes not even really enough. You got whatever, and you're telling yourself that it's enough.
Right.
Yes. And meanwhile, you're struggling. But I think that the fear, I think the umbrella that everybody lives under, I think generally all fear really comes down to generally fear of not being loved. I think you can noodle some of it around here and there. Yeah. But I think, but for me, there are fears basically of I think for generally fear of failure. Right.
Absolutely.
Now. And you know, which is all. Also, there's a subset of fear, you know.
A fear of success,
and it's
actually.
Sure. Yeah. All of it really under the umbrella of a fear of not being loved.
Right.
Not being enough, not deserving the love.
Not being accepted.
Not being accepted.
Right.
And for sure, because I was at one place in my career, and due to circumstances, I went here as a choice, and now I want to go back. And so, what's keeping me from there is, and the thing is that I know, having been where I want to go back to, I know exactly what it takes to get there. And yet, a combination of sloth and fear, which is an awful, potent combination,
very toxic.
Are on a daily basis keeping me from even taking a half a step forward. And when I was 19 years old, there was nothing that could have kept me from taking these steps.
Yeah. And you know, so what I do with something like that is we start to reprogram your thinking.
And I know that, and that's why I don't want to talk to you people.
Yes, we do replacement statements, but we also do a lot in the way of getting you to visualize being in that place, like you said.
Right.
The beauty of where you've been teaching is you've already been there.
Mm-hmm.
You've experienced it. Whereas a lot of people, they don't ever get to the place of even being there.
Right.
I have this little analogy of, you know, like the baby in the dirty diaper, and he starts to cry, and he's like, oh my gosh, you know, this doesn't feel good. And then all of a sudden, we don't get to the baby in time.
Right.
And he's like, okay, well, you know, kind of used to sitting in this crappy diaper.
Uh-huh.
And I can be here for a while. I could be here for hours. Well, that's us as adults. We're the same thing, walking around in our dirty diapers, you know, just being comfortable.
Yeah. Wow.
And sitting in comfort and sabotaging ourselves over and over and over again. The thing with you is you've had the experience of being there.
Right.
So I would take you right back. I would go, what did that look like? What was it like? And get you into the feeling of it, get you into the joy of it. And we would keep working with that persona.
Right.
And take you right there.
And you know what's interesting is that the little minute nano steps that I've taken is I have realized that I need to go back to the basics.
Right.
And part of that is because I realized that when I was a fledgling comic back in the late 80s, I was, in fact, the best comic I've ever been. Now, by the time the mid-90s came around and I'm on TV and I'm doing movies and I'm making this and people say I'm the next Ray Romano, I may have been experiencing more success. I may have had a whole lot more notoriety.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of the artist and the comic that I was, not even a shell.
Yeah.
Because I was doing everything that worked and I was just showing up and doing acting and making money and stuff. But in terms of me and the go-getter and the take no prisoners and the fearlessness, along with the artist that was working and crafting, that was all of that happened in the early days. And so I realized that I need to get back to basics. I need to go back to my roots. Because there's, you know, and not just for sentimental reasons.
But you know, I also read.
I'm scared.
Relax. but I guess fulfilling yourself involves a certain amount of risk that people aren't willing to take. And from what I understand, people would rather avoid pain than seek pleasure, right? So what happens is, you know, whatever keeps you safe and okay is better than really achieving something, as long as you're okay and you're in that comfort zone you mentioned, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's another piece of coaching that we haven't highlighted yet is the coach is right there alongside of you. They're a witness. They're an observer. They're, in essence, holding your hand and they're championing you and they're praising you. And that's what I do. I'm all about acknowledging you, especially in that risk. And you're right, Sam. A lot of people don't want to take it on. In fact, even as a coach myself, when I was working this part-time business, I was scared to take it full-time. And finally, after 6 years of part-time business, I took the ultimate leap of faith and I rented out my house up in Northern California. I gave up the full-time job that paid me really well, have a mortgage, so on and so forth. And I said, you know what? It was like my dream was really tuned up loud on K-Dream.
Right.
And it was screaming at me, Lori, you're going, because I had this dream for 20 years to go live in Europe.
Yeah.
And finally, I couldn't not listen to it anymore because I had literally talked myself into, well, maybe you can just go pursue this dream when you retire.
Yeah.
I told myself that, literally.
Really?
And then finally, I was like, how are you in integrity if you're a coach and you're challenging people to take on risk and live out their dream, but you're not doing it yourself?
Right. It's like a sobriety coach, putting a pile of crack on the table.
You know, it's easy to change other people. It's hardest to change yourself, I think. You know?
Yeah. And some
or
of
to
it
try
really,
to change people.
And some of
anyway.
It seems like it is, you know, you mentioned the there was something that I was going to say here too, is that, and I just looked it up and I remember I had this book at home, it's called Eat That Frog. Okay, and what it is basically this guy says it. Well, you said the other thing too is that, you know, you have to sometimes, you know, you have to walk that talk, and et cetera. And, you know, I have a magnet on our fridge. It says, you know, do something every day that scares you.
Yes.
You know, and
Eleanor Roosevelt.
Yes, and this frog book, Eat That Frog, is based on the idea that if every day the worst thing you had to do was to eat a raw frog. If the worst thing you had to do was do that, as soon as you ate that frog, everything else is coasting.
Really?
You do the most difficult thing first.
Yes.
You get that, eat that frog, get that out of the way.
Yeah.
And then, and you know, and it really, and it can do so much for your soul and your spirit. On those days that I have my list and I do my list and I do it from the tough thing down to the easy, those days are, it's like people who pray or not pray, or people who pray, those days that they don't.
Mm-hmm.
The days invariably are so much better when they do pray. And if you do that list, if you eat that frog, if you do that thing that scares you, then, you know, that's almost like, I guess, for life coaching, that's kind of like the calisthenics, isn't it? That
it really
kind
is.
Of way of thinking.
It really is. And the thing is, as you start to live this way, like you said, eat the frog, or we say face the fear.
Face the fear.
Face the fear and do it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
The moment that you start doing it, your body's like in practice, your mind's in practice, your spirit, your soul, whatever you want to call it, gets used to doing it. It becomes really organic.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that I coach my people to do is, if you've got a to-do list, and most of us operate off a to-do list, which I actually encourage to throw away. But anyway,
if you
have a to-do list, who's number one on the to-do list?
Mm-hmm.
Is it your boss? Is it your husband?
Mm-hmm.
Who is it? Or what is it? It should be you.
Mm-hmm.
You should be the first thing on the list.
Yeah.
And it should be something that brings you joy, something that brings you abundance, something that brings you prosperity, something that's fun, something that's rooted in love. So put yourself first. And I don't care if it's just a two-minute thing that you've got to do, if it's eating the frog, like you said.
Sure.
But stretching yourself. This is a way to discover how capable and resilient, resourceful you are.
Right. And I think spiritually, you know, what I've realized is, you know, your lesson in life is the hardest thing for you to do, you know?
Yes.
And that's what you need to work on. So, you know, I don't think you need to look at it as a weakness, but rather as something that this is what you've got to learn, you know? And
absolutely.
So I agree with you. It's the toughest things for you. Those are the things you need to focus on.
Yeah, you have to do something every day that scares you.
Absolutely.
You know? Yeah.
That's what I called my old company used to be called Coaching in Motion. And when I returned from Spain and Portugal, I was like, you know what? That's not me anymore.
Mm.
I just did something that felt really extreme to me. And this was a dream. So my company name changed from Extreme Dream Training and Coaching. That's what it changed to, I should say.
Uh-huh.
And I
Extreme
Dream Training and Coaching.
Cool.
And so I really want to work with people who have a dream that feels extreme to them. It might not feel extreme to me. It's all relative, right?
It's all relative.
But
is everything.
Absolutely. And so I ask questions like, how extreme can you be today? What's one thing that you can do that's extreme in relation to your dream, to get it out there, to start living it, even if it's 1 minute that you're spending time and focusing on it and charging up that energy in you and getting excited about it, feeling like you're pursuing it, like you, for instance, feeling like you're going back and pursuing the comedy or whatever it is.
And interesting is, you know, Robbins is, you know, talks about, you know, being outstanding, you know, and the difference between being outstanding and being just one of the herd, one of the pack, you know, is a difference of just a couple of degrees of energy and effort and
a little
and
more
conviction.
Effort,
tiny bit, you know.
I tell my clients I want them to go against the mainstream, that I want them, that there's no dream that's so extreme that you have to be mainstream.
Right. Wow. Whoa, that's a friggin' bumper sticker.
Yeah.
You better get that on a freaking magnet before I do. take that right
I'll
from
kill
you.
I DJ,
dare you
I
to kill me.
You.
I will run away from you. I will run and hide in my
you
big
better
mansion.
Run and hide.
In my big
this
mansion for, that yeah, I bought from that magnet.
This former PO will be slapping cuffs on you.
Now,
let me
can I ask a question about your former life?
Yes,
I would love to know about
too.
It. That would okay, first of all.
Is that
now,
a trip or what?
Well, that is really wild. And what I'm wondering is, were you ever involved in any thing? And I guess it's maybe something that maybe statute of limitations you could actually talk about, or something that was public.
Oh
record.
No, I'm sure I could.
Okay,
talk
cool.
About it, yeah.
Anything that we would have known about any high
You think she's going to disclose that? Come on.
I can't I mean, I couldn't give names. I'd have to kill you. No, I'm just kidding.
No. I'll just Google the story and I'll fill in the blank. No, but I mean, anything that we would have known about that was newsworthy or anything like that?
Yeah,
any high profile?
I was up in the San Francisco Bay Area, but we still had, let's see, how could I? Yeah, we did have some celebrities on our caseload. I was going to say... Yeah, there's a big movie with Al Pacino in it, and one of the characters that was in that movie we had on our caseload.
Oh,
but that's
really?
All I could say. That's
Michael Corleone was
a,
that was fiction.
It was not Al Pacino, by the way. Okay. We love you, Al. We're taking care of you. It was not you. We know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's interesting. So you must have heard some interesting stories.
Lots of interesting. Right? Oh, my gosh. And my area of expertise actually was in the area of sex offending. I had sex offenders on my caseload. That's right.
Wow.
Yeah. Sex offenders and stalkers.
The cream of the crop.
The cream of the crop. Yes. Yeah.
Pieces of shit. Forgive me. That is a subject that just makes me so mad.
Yeah.
It's a very dark world.
Filthy, disgusting, vile. You know what gets me too is that, you know, I could probably, there's a million people in this town who could be sitting right here and going, oh, you know, but there's something wrong with them, and we really should pray for them. F that. I honestly, that is something that, you know, there are some versions of that kind of crime that really, I sincerely believe, really, we need to capital punishment. There are some people that have just overstayed their welcome on this planet.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You were doing the good work.
Yeah, and you know, I have to say it's an interesting take because there actually were officers who didn't want to work with these type of offenders.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you take the oath, you say, okay, yes, I'm defending the Constitution. It's like, well, that's part of it.
Right.
But I would take them because my mentality was keep them close.
Mm.
You know, somebody has to serve them so that they don't go out in the world and recidivate and commit this type of crime again.
Right, right.
And
right.
So I really took that on and I truly believed that. And there is a backstory to everybody. Mm-hmm. There is a backstory to every sex offender.
Sure.
And I always told myself I wanted to write a thesis about the offenders that I had because they mostly were child predators or child molesters.
Right.
And I discovered as I interviewed them that they all had an issue with mom. That something happened with mom where mom was cold and stoic.
Yeah, you
and
thought
hard.
It would have been dad, but it was mom.
It
always
mom.
Goes back to the mother, huh?
Yeah. I did have one individual whose dad was very militaristic and very authoritative, and he was an artist, and he really, I think, misinterpreted a lot of dad's behavior and didn't feel loved by dad, and then turned around and offended against a child. And so I think that's, you know, my only case really with dad, where there was a situation in the backstory with dad, but mostly mom.
Yeah.
Wow.
Very cold and mean.
And so this was federal, so where a lot of your, was a lot of it, did it eventually become internet stuff and RICO type and state lines? And
yeah, that's actually how it all started at the, because I actually was a county probation officer first, so I had stuff where it wasn't internet related, but then when I did get to the federal side, yes, it was internet related, a lot of it.
Yeah.
A majority of it, where they were posing as a 14-year-old child or whatnot. And
how about up there in San Fran just recently, Bernie Ward?
Yeah.
Piece of garbage.
Yeah.
Piece of garbage.
Yeah.
Lori, you're a fascinating person.
Thank you.
And we definitely want you to come back.
I'd love to come back.
I mean, she's got so
again,
many stories.
Again, with the enthusiasm.
In her. Yeah.
Jesus.
You've got
a lot
of stories. But Susie's waiting. She's sending me messages, and she's like totally impatient.
She's like, shut up.
Quit talking. So we need to give her time as well and stuff. But where can people find you, your website and everything?
They can find me at extremedreamtraining.com.
ExtremeDreamTraining.com.
That's a great name.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Definitely. And your show on Blog Talk Radio, when is that on?
That's every Wednesday at 10:30 a.m. Pacific time.
Wednesday, 10:30.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's not good for our listeners because they listen to us.
Because they're listening to you.
Yeah. But they do archive your show.
Yes, they archive, and so they can go back and listen anytime.
Wonderful. Yes. Wonderful. Well, a lot of success to you, really. And I'm really glad you finally made it.
I am too.
You live nearby, right?
I do. I'm in Burbank. I'm in Toluca Lake.
Really?
Oh, cool. Perfect. Cool. So very
well, definitely have you come back in.
I would love, and I'd love to have you guys on.
Absolutely.
So have to have you on Extreme Dream Radio.
And I would love some free life coaching. So, all right then. Yes,
all right.
Excellent. Thank
Let's
you.
Let's do it.
Professional
I'll leave you my cards.
Excellent.
There we go.
Free. Thank you.
ExtremeDreamTraining.com, of course, Lori Santos. Thank you so much.
Way to go, Lori.
Have you written any books or anything you should
know
about?
I'm in the process, actually.
Oh,
I am in the process of writing a book. Yay! I got to tell you, that's my next extreme dream. Awesome. I'm not having fun with it. I got to be honest.
You're going to do great.
Good. Well, we definitely need some life coaching around here. We're all very dysfunctional. And okay, everybody, so stay right here, and Susie's going to call us right back.
On your computer, on your Wi-Fi radio, on your iPhone, commercial-free original talk, only on LA Talk Radio, your favorite talk station.
One day I'll tell you how it feels like, a day when everything is alright. I'd like to give it to you easy, yeah, I'm just hoping you can feel me. You think you got it going on, girl, you move around in such a strange world, where everybody lets it all out, you keep it in because you're so proud. But you should know the meaning of a goal, I could have told you love is getting old. In your hair was getting scared, 'cause love has never failed. But you don't know, so now I'm not so insecure. If you could show me how to get you out the door. No, I won't lie, I can't deny, I will try leaving without a goodbye. If you really wanna make my day, just move into another place, 'cause you don't even know.
We're back. Susie? Okay, we're calling Susie. We're going to try and get her as soon as she answers. And, okay, so she, Susie, come on. Come on, answer the phone.
Susie, this is Los Angeles calling. Susie, do you hear us? Susie, do you hear us? This is Los Angeles calling.
Susie, pick up the goddamn phone.
I can't believe this. Susie, call.
She's drunk.
Okay, she's going to call in.
She's drunk.
Yeah, yeah. So that was pretty interesting, huh?
It was very interesting.
Lori,
she's
nice
a lovely
woman.
Lady.
Yes.
Lovely lady. Very
yes.
cool.
We always get good people here.
Yeah, huh? Actually. We do.
Yeah.
Maybe we can
get her to move over from Blog Talk Radio to here and do real radio.
Well, you must have loved that, by the
do
way.
Do real radio.
But Sam is very, very territorial. And as soon as she came out with having a show, I was like, Sam, oh boy. He actually had to say the name of another radio over through his lips, over his mouth. Yes. I know you.
The
you stated that.
Yes.
You know what, though? You were very, very gracious in bringing it up once again at the end of the interview to say, where can people hear you?
Yeah.
That was very gracious of you, very professional.
Yeah.
And I know you
hated
it.
Yeah, Susie's calling, so let's take her. In fact, a few people are calling. And is this our Susie, finally? Hello? Susie, we can't hear you. Headset, something.
Your microphone, is your microphone muted?
Okay, hold on. There's a phone call.
Let's take the phone call. Hello, you're on the air.
Nothing's working. It's a system. It's a system, TJ. I'm really irritated. You know what? I'm going to restart the computer. Susie, give us a couple minutes, and we'll call you back. We really got to reboot this computer. Anyways, TJ.
I could sing.
You can sing.
I am.
Well, there's plenty to do. I mean, I'm not worried about
Ishim
that
Gishim,
at all.
Ishim Gishim, Mishim Mai. And what I was going to say is that's my... I know those Hebrew songs because that's how my wife...
Uh-huh.
She had a friend from Israel, and she knew about these songs. And anytime, my wife is such a businesswoman. Anytime we're like doing retail shopping for her business, or like downtown. Mm-hmm. Anytime we go into a wholesale situation, and the proprietor is Jewish, mm-hmm. or if we're trying to get a table at a restaurant or whatever, if there's a Jew who is in control of the situation, my wife will start flirting, and she will start talking, and eventually she'll throw out a little bit of Ishim Gishim Mishim, and they go, "Oh, you know this song?" She goes, "Yeah, I know the song." And blah blah blah, that or Dai Dayenu. She'll sing the, and she gets right in there, and they love her immediately, and boom, and that's how it works, man.
Yeah.
Oh, she's gotten us so much stuff for cheap just by negotiating with a little bit of Ishim Gishim.
Yeah. Now let me ask you this: now you see her pregnant and everything. Do you see a certain glow in her?
It's 1,000 candle power. Glow.
Isn't it, though? I mean, pregnant women are just so glowing.
There are so many cliches surrounding
the
concept of pregnancy and impending parenthood and fatherhood, more specifically.
Right.
And I have seen each and every one of these cliches come to fruition.
Really?
Everything from the... you know, all the cliches about that first trimester and the emotions you go through and the fears and all that.
Now, how do you feel about sex during pregnancy? I mean, do you feel any differently?
We haven't done it.
Not done it, huh?
We have not done it.
Well, now that you planted, you see, that's it. You move on, right?
Now I move on. I'm territorial. Yes, yes, yes. I'm a hunter-gatherer, and I need to, I need to have doggy-style sex with a woman.
Because some men get weird, and I mean, I know, like, as it progressed, I sort of got weird about it, you know?
Well, now she's getting weird about it.
Really?
I told her the other day, it's funny, I like talking in like old Southern terms. I told her the other day, I said, I'm willing to give you pleasures.
Uh-huh.
Meaning, you know, I'll take care of you, you know, in other ways. But now
I'm not inserting.
Now I can't, not with my little
girl.
Not with my little girl.
No, huh?
I don't want to knock my little girl.
Feels obscene.
It does,
huh?
And so, anyway, so now she's like, oh, I don't want you to go down there. It's all different already.
Yeah.
It's already swollen, and it's like down there, it's already a little weird.
Yeah.
And so for her, she's saying that.
Yeah.
But the glow is that of the sun. My wife is such a glowing beauty. I mean, she is just awesome. And she is loving being pregnant, man.
Really?
My wife is forever rubbing this belly. I mean, she literally walks around just constantly. I'm surprised that she hasn't like gotten like a rash from constantly
rubbing her stomach.
Always, Sam. Like it's like become like a reflex, like a tick. She's constantly rubbing that baby.
Really?
And so the glow is there. And so I know that all these cliches
but the
are
boobs,
all gonna...
you like the boobs. No?
Well, I've always liked the boobs. She's always had great cans.
Yeah.
So that's the thing is that this has not been like, a gift from the gods.
Yeah.
Because like they've always been big. They've always been awesome. She's always had great boobs. I can imagine guys, you know, wives with like an A cup and all of a sudden they're a C. And it's like, whoa, she's a porn star.
Yeah.
But Andy's always had a fantastic body. So it's like... They're just bigger.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm kind of jaded in that regard.
So it'll get back to the way it was. You know, if she's got a great body, usually the body goes back to the way it was.
And she's a dancer. And yeah, she's a dancer. And so far, and God, you don't want to jinx anything, but so far, I'm so happy for her because she doesn't have, like, any stretch marks, nothing so far. We'll see. I mean, we'll see.
Right.
But so far, so good. God bless
her. Good. Yeah. It's all in the genes, you know?
It is. Now, and evidently her mom.
Susie. Sorry.
Yes.
Oh, there she
is. Well, finally, Sam. God damn it.
Is your mom listening?
Sam?
Yes.
Oh, no.
Hello?
Oh, no.
You can't hear us.
Is our mic muted? Sometimes that happens.
No, our mic is not muted. She can
Sam.
Hear. Susie?
Yes?
Oh, can you hear us? Okay, finally.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, but it's not very good. What kind of a headset Sam. Do you have? I should have told you to get a good headset.
Sam?
Yes. Oh. She can't hear us. Fuck it.
Where okay. are you?
Landline.
Okay. Yeah, she was trying to call on the phone also. Let me try this phone she's been calling.
Now that you rebooted everything, the landline should definitely work.
Yeah? Well, it's not working. Let me try this phone number that she's been calling on. If that's her. I don't know. All right, anyway, this is, yeah. I'm
irreverent.
Radio
we're,
like
right
this.
Now, we're being irreverent, yeah, entertaining, and cool, aren't we?
This is bullshit fucking radio, man.
You know what? You see, that's awesome is when we're honest about when our shows are tanking. How many times have you heard me say that? In the middle of my show,
yeah. When
I'm on every day from noon to 2, West Coast, 3 to 5 East, and there will be days, and I'll be like, you know what? I got nothing to talk about, gang.
Yeah.
And then I get angry at the audience for not calling in.
Really?
And there have been a couple times when I've actually like scolded my audience. I say, you people just sit there, all of you, and they don't understand. We can see how many people we know.
But TJ, they want to be entertained. Most people do not call radio stations.
And you know what? And that's something people don't understand. And terrestrial radio, especially, it's true that the percentage of the listeners that call in is minuscule.
Very.
Less than 1%.
And it's usually regulars, too.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. But I mean, not one. I mean, come on, man. Not one. Especially when I'm sitting there like treading water and I got nothing to say. I'm like, you know, at least somebody could do is call up. You know who calls up? You and my wife.
Yeah.
You know, that's who calls.
Yeah. Okay, here's Susie. Hold on. What the hell? We don't have another call here. Hang on just a second here. Let me try and figure this out.
I'm drinking Christian eggnog,
okay,
by the way.
Okay, cool.
Christian.
Susie.
All I have to say is that Skype sucks.
Well, Skype is fine. I mean, look, our computer froze, so I restarted it, but you couldn't hear us before. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
No, I could hear you guys, but you couldn't really hear me, and there was like this weird time delay.
Oh, okay.
Is your mom listening?
I really hope not.
Okay.
Yeah.
In fact, you know what? I'm going to go get in the closet right now.
Why?
Why? What do you have to tell us?
Is there people around?
What do you have to tell us?
No.
Did you touch a penis?
I'm really in my closet right now.
Did you touch a penis?
No.
Did you touch or see or come in contact with a penis in the last 24 hours?
Maybe.
Susie.
It was someone I went to Catholic school with for my whole life.
You went to Catholic school and you already got laid with this guy?
This is so awesome. Wow.
I didn't have sex with him. I really didn't.
But you touched it. But you saw it. But you touched it. That is so hot.
I don't remember.
Susie, what's going on, Susie?
I miss you guys. How are you?
We miss you too. Where are you right now?
Right now, I'm in my closet in Poughkeepsie, New York.
Oh, in New York. Cool.
Yes. I was actually supposed to be in Boston today, but I did not make it to Boston because of the damn snow.
Oh, so you can't even drive, huh?
Well, I could have, but my mother, I don't really have a car here, and I would have had to borrow a car, and my mom was like, no, I don't want you driving around in the snow. You're going to die. So.
So you're in New York. Are you with family there?
I'm at my mom's house right now with my mom and my stepdad and my sister, Mimi, the doctor.
Oh.
By the way, your sister's really good looking.
Ridiculously good looking.
Yeah, she's really... She's a very good looking girl.
Mm.
Thank you.
And she's a doctor?
We know how to breed them in my family.
And she's a doctor?
And she's an army doctor, yes.
An army doctor?
An army doctor.
Yeah, this family has gone all into the army. I don't know what's going on with you guys.
That girl is in the army?
That girl is in the army.
Wow, what kind of doctor is she?
Family medicine. She actually does a lot of, she delivers a lot of babies and things like that.
And did she give you all the medication that you needed and everything?
Yes,
wonderful.
She did.
Yeah. what do you get from your, is that like just totally illegal?
No, actually, I think it is kind of legal.
Kinda.
Kind of legal, yeah.
Well, the thing is, I already have like a prescription for my I call them my study drugs.
Your study drugs.
Yeah, so anyway, like it cost me like $80 with my quack doctor to have him fill that prescription, so I just asked my sister if she could fill it.
Very nice, very nice. Now, did you guys have a nice, what have you been doing? I mean, obviously you've been fucking this guy. What else?
No, I have not, and I do not.
Oh, you just played around.
I know.
Just like the little kids in Catholic school. That's fine.
Yes, exactly.
We understand.
Exactly.
Yeah, you sort of like lived out the dream.
Where did you see this guy at a local bar, like as like a homecoming kind of thing, where like the whole town people are home for the holidays and they get together at the bar?
You guys have no idea how awkward this is, like doing this at my mom's house. Like I'm wandering around the house trying to find like a quiet place where I could actually talk freely.
Yeah, it's funny because you came from a rather conservative family, and you're like so
you have
fucking
no idea
wild.
How conservative my family is. Like I'm like seriously, I'm wearing like a turtleneck dress right now that goes down to my ankles and all the way up to my ears.
Really?
Yeah. So I'm trying, like I'm hiding in my mom's like exercise room right now, like sitting on her Nordic track trying to hide.
No, has she had the discussion with you about the radio show yet?
They tell me that they love me and they're proud of me, but they don't listen anymore.
Well, good thing.
Wow, because of the stuff you talk about?
Yeah. So, And basically, I've gotten in so much trouble since I've been home. Like, I'm sitting at the dinner table, and I'm like, yeah, so, like, this is fucking bullshit. And my mom's like, what? Oh, my God. Watch your language, young lady. Oh, my Lord. Oh.
Really?
So I completely horrified my entire family already. Sam, I think you've made me go downhill.
Me? Well, yes, of course, you. Yeah. I mean, why not? I'm responsible for everything.
Because you're a fucking Jew, man. It's all your fault.
It is. You see, it's the Jews. It's the fucking Jews, TJ. You see, she's already learned. She knows.
Well, listen, we all know that the Jews rule the world, and between the Bilderbergers and the Rothschilds, they've got, it's really, you know, I mean, you know, this is all just a front. LA Talk Radio is just a front for the New World Order, and the Jews are at the front, at the head of it.
There you go, you see, but we just
I'm sitting here with the future president of the United States of the world.
Yeah.
Sam Hassan.
And Susie will sit by in the throne next to me, right?
Oh,
hello,
my God. Yeah.
Hello, people of America.
I will be your queen.
This is President Sam, and today we're going to talk about chicks.
TJ, I actually wanted to ask you something.
Yes.
I'll tell you, I was reading this Newsweek article.
Black oh, look, I like how she tries to make it all sophisticated. I was reading this Newsweek article in between touching former boyfriend's penises.
Yeah, she,
yes, go ahead.
Yeah.
This is not a former boyfriend. This is someone I didn't like as a child. I actually threw a math book at his head and got detention when I was in, like, second grade.
Well, you know, I had girls who threw rocks at me, and none of them ever touched my thing after 30 years. Go ahead.
Anyway, on the plane, this is actually kind of funny, because I almost died, guys. I really thought I was going to die on the plane from California to D.C.
Really? What happened?
There was such awful turbulence. Like, I seriously... Like, I had my noise-canceling headphones on, and then I had, like, my eye mask over my eyes, and I was in the aisle seat, and then there was a very tall black man next to me, and then, like, a very small Asian woman in the window seat. And so, there's a reason for my telling these.
Okay. Yeah, how do you always end up in the middle seat. How is that?
No, I was in the aisle seat.
Oh, you were in the aisle seat. Okay.
Yeah, the tall black man was in the middle seat.
I see.
Oh,
but so all of a sudden, like, the turbulence fucking hits, and I'm so freaked out. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm going to die. And I'm like, my life is flashing before my eyes, and I'm like, I'm not ready to die. Like, I've got a good life. And there was, like, a single mom with, like, five kids in front of me on the plane. I was like, this is going to be so awful. Like, you know, her family's waiting for her, and, like, she and all of her kids are going to die all at once. And this just sucks.
Wow.
Because the turbulence is so bad. But
I
so
know,
then anyway, like, with my eye mask on, like, I go to grab the guy's leg. Mm-hmm. But I can't see anything because my eye mask is on, so I grab him by his member.
Wow,
Susie. I was so afraid like that we were going to die, and so I went to like grab his leg and his hand, and I just grabbed him in his crotch.
Wow. did he jump or what? What happened?
Oh, my God. No, like, because he was a little scared, too, and he was trying to, like, console me, and so I ripped my eye mask off, and I'm like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. I'm like, I'm so embarrassed. I can't believe that just happened. And he's like, it's okay. And so he interlaces his hands with my hand.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, you know, trying to console me and blah, 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 blah. So whatever, the turbulence stopped and I didn't die, but I did get to cop a feel on the plane. So,
I don't believe
you. Of a big
you.
Black snake.
I don't believe
yes.
you. I'm going to say this categorically. I don't believe you.
Susie,
oh,
have
no,
you ever
I'm
had
serious.
Have you ever had dark meat before?
Are you talking to me? Or
yes.
TJ?
No, TJ.
No, not to TJ.
You.
bitch.
Oh my God! Once.
Oh, once.
God, why would you do that?
Was it?
He was half.
Was it big?
Yes.
Nah. But you know, not all of them are. You got to remember that.
No.
You know.
No, can I tell you this? It was when I was at University of Colorado at Boulder, and I went to go have sex with this guy. Again, I've got to be super quiet.
Well, but we can't hear you either. I mean, the
No, actually, I can. We can hear enough. It's cool to have her whispering because we know she's really dangerous. Go ahead. Go ahead. Tell us this.
Okay. I was at University of Colorado. What? Boys.
Yeah, we're here.
Okay. So I was at the University of Colorado Boulder, and I went to go have sex with this guy.
Mm.
And basically, his dick was hard, but it wasn't, like, fully hard. It was really hard, but it was, like, it bent in half in the middle. Like, it was, like, I don't understand how this actually happened.
It bent in half.
What?
Go ahead.
It's a condition.
It's a condition. I can tell you.
No, there was no curve. It was like hard, and then it was like snapped in half.
Yeah.
It was like hard at the top.
It's a condition called
Peyronie's
disease.
All around.
Wow. It's a condition called Peyronie's disease or something. Go ahead.
Is that what that is?
Yes.
Oh, my God. It was awful. So like, we kept just the tip in, and I'm like, oh, yeah. And then all of a sudden, like, I would try and have him, like, stick the rest in, and it would just, like, flop over. And I'm like, what the fuck kind of crock is this?
What?
You know what I mean? Like, I just want to be fucked, and this is what I'm getting, like, half-bent dick. I'm like, no, this is bullshit. So I left his room. I really have to be quiet. This house is so, oh, my God, the walls are so thin.
Yeah. Go outside. Is it cold? Outside.
It's freaking 15 degrees out, and there's 2 feet of snow.
Wow. So you went to the next room.
No, so I went upstairs, the half black, and I don't know what his other ethnic part was, but so I went up to his room after this to get to finish getting railed, and he finished the job.
Oh, well,
did you know the guy?
Yeah, they were both in my English class.
And so did you go up to the half black guy and go, look, downstairs, not working out, and so was this something where like did you have a previous established relationship with this guy, or was it one of those things where like college dude, he's got a college girl, and
what?
He was actually a virgin, and I walked into his room, and I banged on his door, and I just like walked in. I have no idea why. I was really drunk and fucked up, so like I just walked into his room, and I like slammed him down
here
onto his bed.
Do you notice
took his pants off and went to town?
Yeah. Do you notice a theme here?
There is a theme with Susie, yes. It's get drunk and do crazy shit so I don't have to be responsible for my behavior.
I hope we're not telling these stories at church one day.
Oh, my God.
No, I don't think she will.
In the past. No, I'm talking about past tense.
Oh.
I'm really hoping that we're not someday reflecting on this wonderful short life that Susie had.
A short life. Oh, come on. Don't.
What? Yeah. It's a God forbid. But yeah. Of course it's a God forbid. I'm saying I'm seeing too much
of
a pattern here, sweetheart.
She's drowning in alcohol, you
I'm
think?
Saying there's too much of a pattern here, and I'm concerned.
Well, let's just say my family, I think my family's worried, too, because like last night we were playing Monopoly with my friend Joe, the one that I was going out with over the past couple nights. And I mean, what family does not have like a bottle of wine like to each player while you're playing Monopoly?
Mine?
you got Howard Stern on the couch with your son. You don't even play Monopoly.
Okay.
Take that.
You got a point.
Oh my God. But yeah, so like my stepfather was like, we finished a bottle of wine already. He opened it for four people. Like there were four people drinking a bottle of wine, so naturally I finished it off rather quickly.
Right. And?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see my father tomorrow because at least he can drink like a fish like me.
Cool.
Is your father, your birth father, is he an alcoholic?
Yes.
Mm.
Really?
Okay. Well, yes. Okay. Well, eventually maybe you will admit that you are too, but...
I've always admitted that I am.
Oh, you have. But so why did we do that contest where you're going to stop for a couple days?
Well, I don't know. Just for fun.
Okay. All right. So, all right. Well, we're not going to analyze you, Susie. I mean, it's your life, you know, and you do whatever you want.
I'm working on making my liver into a nice foie gras for Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah. You know, I don't know that I'd want people to intervene on my part, so I'm not going to intervene on you. You know, maybe we'll feel guilty if you're 6 feet under and we didn't do shit about it, but let's hope not.
No, you guys, don't worry about me. I'm just fine. I'm just a crazy party girl.
Yes, you are.
Right.
Oh, my God. And I was doing some crazy partying and promoting of our show last night at the bar, my old hometown watering hole.
Did you take your top off?
It's probably too cold.
You know what? I still don't know yet. I'm actually meeting up with Joe again in a little bit to find out what exactly went down last night.
I see. Okay. It's because you blacked out again.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't really remember what right now, but maybe once he informs me of like what happened, I will remember, and then it won't really be a blackout.
Yeah.
It would be like a big lapse of memory.
You know, we could raise money here. I wonder if you could. Are you capable of doing a show in the nude without having to drink?
Wait, you want me to be naked?
Could you? And I'm saying, are you capable? Because I'm thinking we could raise money for charity that way.
Yeah, we could.
For every hour that you're on the air nude, and for every friend of yours that you could get in to come in and do the show, not on Sam's show, because that's, you know, there's too much of a connection there. So on my show. Yeah. We could raise money that way. We could have you and like your hot roommate and and that other one that I met, the your best friend in the whole world. And we could have a big massive nude show and like raise money for every hour that and all that on the. But I'm wondering, could you do something like that sober?
You know what? I absolutely could.
All right, then.
Yeah, I think
she
could.
Completely sober?
Just semi.
What do you consider sober?
not drunk.
I mean, define sober to me.
Not drunk.
Oh, that's yeah.
Not drunk, but so other substances are okay.
No, not stony. No mind-altering substances.
Okay, we got it. Susie, listen. We're at the end of the show.
Well, goddammit, thanks for picking up about 200 times ago.
Well, look, it never was like the right time. I mean, we had an author and then we had the guest, and I wanted to give you some of your own time. But tomorrow, I'm going to have a co-host. Do you remember Linda Krause that was here, the former 70s porn star?
I'm a little bit jealous, Sam.
Think I like her?
I think you have a crush on her.
Who's coming?
Her name is Linda Krause. She used to be Linda Gildersleeve, and she was a...
Sam has a crush on her.
When is she coming in?
Tomorrow. She's going to co-host tomorrow.
No, I'm telling you, I'm a little bit jealous that she's coming in and trying to, like, she better not sit in my seat. I refuse to let her sit in my seat.
Where the fuck do you think she's going to sit?
In the other seat where she sat last time.
What does she do now?
That's the thing, is that she's very active in helping abused women and things like that, you know.
Boring. All right, you can have her.
Her mother kind of hauled her out, too, so.
Promise me that you won't let her sit in my seat.
Okay. All right. Your seat is on my lap, so I won't let her sit on my lap. All right,
Susie. You're going to ask her to sit on your lap. Oh, my God. I'm getting really jealous here.
Okay. Susie, listen.
It's the last time I go on vacation, goddammit.
I just quickly, we had a question. Did you you said you're drunk now. Did you drink after you got up, or are you still drunk from last night?
I'm still drunk from last night. I think I got home from the bar at like 4 in the morning.
Oh, so you haven't slept yet?
No, I passed out for a while.
No. Oh. Okay.
But I still woke up drunk.
Oh, Susie, well, listen, love, we miss you so much.
Yeah.
And what time would you like me to call in tomorrow, or should I just not call in?
Sam's like, you know, just take the day off.
Let's just do email. Yeah, we'll do email. And
all right.
Linda's going to be here, Susie, so let Linda have her day.
Yeah. And listen, we got to run because TJ has to prepare. He's doing Alan's show. He's actually going to host for Alan, who's still sick. So I invite you all to listen to Answers for the Family. Susie, we love you. Yes. Take care. Go get some rest.
love you. I'm going to go sweating, actually.
Okay.
Oh, excellent.
Yes, sounds good. I'm very excited. So I'll go sweat, and I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Okay.
Merry Christmas, sweetheart.
Love you, bye, boys. Sweetie. Merry Christmas.
Bye. All right, so that's that. Okay, we're at the top of the show. Please join us tomorrow for more great time, and we'll see you then.
You have been listening to Sam and Susie in the Morning, which airs every weekday at 9 a.m. Pacific. To contact the show, please email your question or comment to sam@latalkradio.com or susie@latalkradio.com. A complete list of all past shows can be found on our archives page and on iTunes. For sponsorship or advertising information, email us at info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Susie in the Morning is a presentation of LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com. LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.